His name, amen.
Came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying,
"How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly."
Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them,
"I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?"
"We are not stoning you for any good work,"
they replied,
"but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God."
Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father."
Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp.
Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said,
"Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true."
And in that place, many believed in Jesus.
Hello. Happy Sunday. So, sorry I didn't bring any balloons with me today. Sorry. Today's message is entitled, "Jesus is God's Son." And our key verse is verse 36. Okay. So I didn't prepare a PowerPoint today, so you'll have to use your Bibles. Right? Verse 36. So if you have your Bible, let's read that. "What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son?" So there's a lot of great verses in today's passage, right? Like, "My sheep listen to my voice. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one." So usually we choose one of those key verses. But today I went with this, "I am God's son," because I think really all these verses that Jesus gave are in the context of this Jesus discourse with the Jews regarding his identity. So something a little different today. So in last week's passage, Jesus taught the Pharisees what it meant to be a good shepherd, right? And in today's passage, these Jewish leaders continually confront Jesus because of their growing frustration, basically, over his growing popularity and their inability to catch Jesus in any violation of Moses' law. Jesus was very sorry that the Jews were not his sheep, but he did try to save, he did not try to save himself from these rebellious people, but rather he patiently taught them one simple truth, that he and the Father are one, that he is God's Son because he is. So may God bless us today to really listen to Jesus' voice and know and understand that Jesus is God's Son. Let's pray. Lord, we gather here today because of who you are, because you are the Good Shepherd who loves us. We gather here to lift up your name and to put ourselves under the authority of your word. Your word that transforms and changes us day by day. And Father, we ask that by your Spirit, you would be our guide and our teacher today, that you would change our thinking, that you would give us a greater love for you and for each other. Be with our children. Reveal to them the Lord Jesus in all his fullness and their need for a Savior together with us. We ask in Christ's name, amen. So part one, do not keep us in suspense, verses 22 through 24. So look at verse 22, Jesus said, then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. So the events here in this passage, in John chapter 10, had taken place during and after the festival of dedication. So what is the festival of dedication? Well, you might more commonly know it as Hanukkah, right? It's also tied to the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Lights, and it lasted for 8 days. So when you read your Bible and when you get to the end of the Old Testament in Malachi, then there's this 400-year gap, right, before the New Testament begins. And during that time, there was essentially kind of known as a silent period because there was no prophets. But that didn't mean God was not working during those 400 years. God was still with and working the Jewish people. So you may have noticed I brought up a little different Bible today than I usually bring. So sometimes I like to grab my Catholic Bible and read the books of the Apocrypha. So they generally contain these books that talk about the Jewish history from that 400-year missing period. Like the first and second Maccabees, for example. So these books were later not included with the canon of scripture as we know today as the Bible, right? But they were included in the Septuagint, right? So that's a big word, right? Kids, can you say Septuagint?
Septuagint.
Yeah. Septuagint. So what is the Septuagint?
Right?
Yeah. So it's kind of, you can think of it as the Old Testament, the original Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament or the Greek Old Testament, right? It was the Bible before Jesus came. So if you look at all, like the first translations of the Old Testament into Greek and the first translations of the Bible into Latin and Greek, those books all included these books of the Apocrypha. And many of the early church fathers quoted from these books as scripture. Now, there's nothing in these books that goes against scripture. Right? There also, however, is really not a lot in them, basically nothing that really points either to the coming of Christ. When they talk a lot about you know, God and God the Creator and lots of beautiful things. But they're kind of like books of history, you might say. So they're interesting to read if you want to understand more about the Jewish context. Of course, right, read your Bible first. Now, I brought that up only because it's in these books that you find the story of the Festival of Light, like Hanukkah. Where did Hanukkah come from? Because you don't exactly find that in Scripture, although it's related to the Feast of Tabernacles. But it actually occurs during that 400-year time period. So it was around 170 BC, there arose a persecutor of the Jews, right, known as Antiochus Epiphanes, right, and his armies marched into Jerusalem and they seized the temple and desecrated it by sacrificing the pig on the altar. And so many Jews fled to the mountains, but there God raised up a man known as Judas Maccabees, right, who after 3 years led a group of Jews to overthrow Antiochus and retake the temple. And so when they retook the temple, they also rededicated this temple and went in the Holy Holies. They relit these lamps. And now the story goes that when they retook the temple, there was only enough lamp oil to last one day. But amazingly, the oil lasted for 8 days. Right? So it was kind of like a small miracle to them. And so hence also this festival lasts for 8 days. And people also lit lamps in their homes in celebration. This is why it's called the Festival of Lights. So it was during this festival that Jesus was walking in the temple area. The Solomon's Colonnade, which is very famous in the Bible, right? This is the place where, like in the book of Acts, where Peter preached and where the early Christians, they met in Solomon's Colonnade. Now, since basically about chapter 5 in John's Gospel, we know that the Jews, many of these Jewish leaders, had been trying to find a way to kill Jesus or get him arrested, but they were unsuccessful. And they tried to trap him using Sabbath law, for example, claiming Jesus must be a sinner because he healed a man born blind on the Sabbath. And these Jews became more and more frustrated, right? They were really frustrated by the blind man's testimony about Jesus, and they threw him out of the synagogue. Still, they had once again failed to catch Jesus. So they were becoming desperate men. They had firmly decided to reject Jesus, but they could not stop Jesus' growing popularity as a teacher and a healer and a prophet. So they kind of cornered him in Solomon's Colonnade at this festival, and they came up to him and they said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now it's very clear that these Jews were not really interested in the answer. They were not interested in information. This was not some kind of noble effort to clarify or find the truth about Jesus. Their question is absolutely hypocritical and fraudulent. They knew exactly who Jesus claimed to be. They had already tried to kill him 3 times up to this point. Right? For example, when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." So their goal was not to learn if Jesus was the Christ, so that they could believe in him. They did not care about truth. Their only intention was to force Jesus' hand publicly into testifying he was the Christ, and so charge him with blasphemy. So that is what is happening here. Here we see that these Jews were slaves of their political minds. They should have seen the blind and the lame man as their precious sheep. They should see Jesus as God's answer to their people's prayers. But they saw everything from a political point of view. Because of their political mind, they did not see their people as precious sheep, but as pieces in a political chess game. But Jesus had come to rescue his people from slavery to sin and restore them as the kingdom of priests and holy nation. The Jews saw Jesus instead as their rival and resented his rebukes. They hated him for telling them the truth about their sin and their hard heart. They had to repent. But with their political minds, they persisted in trying to manipulate the situation in their favor. You see, there is always a danger in becoming too politically minded. Our political minds only encourage us to manipulate or spin the situation in our favor without ever facing up to the facts or repenting. So we must not live according to our political mind, but we must have a mind controlled by the Spirit. Then we don't need to fear of what is happening in the world around us, but have the confidence and peace that comes from knowing the truth. Part 2, I know my sheep, verses 25 through 31. Jesus was not caught up in the political tension and all the politics of the Jews. He saw them as sheep. But there was a problem. So look at verses 25 and 26. So Jesus answered them, I did tell you, but you do not believe me. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Jesus told them plainly, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Look at verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Jesus' sheep listen to his voice and follow. Now, I don't mean that we always know what Jesus is saying, right? That's not what this is saying. A lot of times I don't know what Jesus is telling me specifically. There are some things, right? I don't understand sometimes. There are some things today I'm praying about in regard to my work. I have some decisions to make, and I'm asking God which way is best. Maybe the same is true with something in your life. We may not always hear some clear direction from God like, I want you to do this. Very specific and clear. We may not always be able to make out exactly what the shepherd is telling us, but Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. If we're listening, we can always recognize his voice and follow him. Right? We may not know exactly where we're going, or what we're getting ourselves into, but it's okay. Because we know that's the voice of our shepherd. And as long as I'm going toward his voice, I know I'll be okay. Right? We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. Right? We don't have to know all the details or the specifics. We just need to be able to hear the shepherd's voice and go that direction. That's all. Sometimes it becomes very clear, like we, you know, very specific thing God gives us. But most of the time, I don't think so. Now the Jews, they were not listening. They stubbornly refused to repent and accept Jesus as their good shepherd. If they had been listening, they would have recognized who Jesus was because Jesus made it plain. Starting from John the Baptist, who testified about Jesus, that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They would have heard Jesus' own words in John chapter 5, where he said he had equal honor with the Father and was able to give life to whomever he wished. They would have heard it when Jesus said the scriptures testified about him and know how. If they came to him, he would give them life. And he was the bread of life whom Moses wrote about. And they should have heard it when Jesus told them he was the living bread that came down from heaven and could satisfy the thirst of all who believe. He was the light of the world. They should have understood who he was when he told them that Abraham rejoiced to see his day and his claim that before Abraham was, I am. They should have known when Jesus said he was the gatekeeper, the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, the one who has supernatural authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. And that he was gathering his flock to give them eternal life and to have life to the full. So Jesus rightly said, I did tell you. Because he told them again and again, but they didn't have ears to hear. They did not believe. Perhaps even more important than what Jesus said was what Jesus did. Jesus said, the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. We know that people can say one thing and then do something, right, totally different. So we shouldn't just believe people just because of what they say, right? You can just look at any politician. So we shouldn't believe people just on what they say, but also on their actions. But we can believe Jesus because Jesus' words were consistent with his works. Do you remember the words from the book of James that we studied? What did James say? He said, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Jesus not only told them who he was, he also showed them, and he proved it by his deeds and actions and the miracles that he did. Yet despite Jesus' words and all the evidence and all the miracles to back it up, the Jews did not listen to Jesus' voice. Well, how about us? What does it really mean to listen to Jesus' voice? I believe based on this passage, to listen to his voice means to accept Jesus' authority over us as our shepherd and Lord. It means that even if we don't like what we hear, we accept it because it is Jesus who speaks it to us. So there's a lot of examples you can think about when you think about, for example, Simon Peter, right? Because Simon Peter, he was kind of a proud and emotional man, headstrong, but He acknowledged that Jesus was his shepherd and he was his sheep. So when Jesus told Peter, "Oh, go put your net out into the deep water, right, for a catch," and what did Simon Peter say? He's like, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." I think it was very difficult for Simon Peter to listen to a preacher about fishing. But still, he obeyed. Right. And what happened? He caught so many fish that his boat nearly sank. Jesus treats everyone as his sheep. He even treated Judas, the betrayer, as his sheep to the end, because he has hope for all men. But in the end, only those who are found actually to be Jesus' sheep will be saved. So we must not deceive ourselves like Judas, hoping to enjoy Jesus' grace forever, but never repenting. We must also make a decision to listen to Jesus' voice and follow, even if it's not the direction we want to go. Look at verses 20 through 30. Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The shepherd-sheep relationship that Jesus has with us is life-giving and forever. Once we are Jesus' sheep, in fact, there is nothing in this world that can change it. Can you believe this? Nothing. Jesus does not say this once, but actually twice in this passage. If we belong to him through repentance and faith in his word, then we belong to God. And if we are in God's hands, we are in God's hands forever. No one can snatch us out. No one is greater than the Father. This confidence is what led Apostle Paul, right, to declare, "No, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." You may be you may have heard the Allstate commercial, right? What's the Allstate slogan, right? "You're in good hands with Allstate," right? Allstate Insurance. Well, guess what? We're in better hands with God, right? It's like if Kevin Pelin is at the grocery store with Abby, right? And he says to Abby, "Abby, take my hand." And Abby holds up her hand, reaches out her hand, and takes hold, right? So they're walking in the store. But what? It won't be long before Abby sees something she wants, and then, right, she lets go of her grip and tries to go over there. But do you think Abby can escape Kevin's grip? Abby is not going anywhere until Kevin allows her to do so, right? God's hand is even more secure than that. Nothing in all creation, not even ourselves, can remove us from the grip of our Father's hand. Next, Jesus declared, "I and the Father are one." And in that statement, he left no doubt to the unbelieving Jews that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of God. So he did so. He said this despite knowing that he was giving the Jews what they wanted, a clear reason to label him a blasphemer. But Jesus was not afraid, because he was one with the Father and carrying out the will of his Father God. He was one with God's mind and God's heart. He also had God's authority, God's compassion, and God's truth. So that literally, when others looked at Jesus, God himself was revealed and made known. So what do you think was the Jews' response to Jesus saying, "I and the Father are one"? Look at verse 31. Did they say, "Oh, you're the Christ? I believe"? No, right? What'd they do? Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. You want to know why people hate Christians and persecute the church? For the very same reason they hated Jesus. Jesus said, "The world hates me because I testify that its works are evil." John 7:7. The world is hostile toward us because we testify that the deeds of the world are evil. And the world doesn't want to hear that. Sometimes we have to speak the truth. Adulterers don't want to hear that. Homosexuals don't want to hear that. Lovers of money and lovers of pleasure, gossipers, liars, thieves, they don't want to hear that what they're doing is sin. Why? Because they love the darkness, because their deeds were evil. That's what Jesus said. Like Jesus, Christians are called to reveal Jesus to the unbelieving world, even if it means persecution or death. But we can do so when we humble ourselves before our good shepherd Jesus and have one mind and heart with him. But if we hold on to our pride, it's like we harden our hearts and we can't hear Jesus' voice. And not listening to Jesus' voice, figuratively speaking, is like picking up stones to stone Jesus. We must listen to Jesus' voice through his word and through those who are one with him. Part 3. God set apart Jesus as his very own. Verses 32 to 42. So look at verse 32. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" The Jews had rejected Jesus, but on what basis? Why were they stoning him? Because he had revealed God's mercy and compassion on a man born blind? Look at verse 33. They said, "We're not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Of course, the Jews had long wanted to stone Jesus to death due to their political minds. They didn't not accept Jesus' deity. They just saw him as a man because they weren't listening. They weren't seeing. Here we can see the root of a political mind is human pride. To the highly educated Jews, Jesus was just a mere man. In fact, they looked down on him because he came from Galilee and his followers were nothing but fishermen and tax collectors and political zealots. The Jews, on the other hand, were recognized by everyone for their advanced learning, and their human pride made it impossible for them to recognize Jesus as being one with the Father. So look at verses 34 through 36. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world. Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? So in these verses, Jesus reveals a surprising truth from the book of Psalms, from Old Testament scripture. The Jews, basically Jesus says, should respect and honor others as God respects and honors them. According to Psalm 82:6, God honored the prophets and kings who were counted worthy of receiving his word through his spirit by calling them gods, literally the word Elohim. Even as he also, in the same psalm, was rebuking them for failing to shepherd his flock. Now, in this context, God is not giving these princes and prophets and kings the status of deity, okay? He's not telling them they are on par with him. But rather, what he is doing in the context of that psalm is telling them that they are sanctified. They are set apart as earthly representatives of God to the people of Israel because of their positions of authority. So what this means is that even though these were just men, God had given unto them divine authority to these religious and government leaders to represent him. So in a manner of speaking, they are God, because they have divine authority delegated to them. And if we read our Bible, we find this is also true today. Government officials, pastors, fathers have been all given divine authority delegated to them as well. This was the implication of what God was telling the people here in Psalm 82. Greg and I and our church leaders have been given a divine responsibility delegated by God. Fathers have been given a divine responsibility to lead their wives and raise up their children unto God. Every father in this room has been delegated a divine responsibility to lead his family, to make decisions for his family, to spiritually represent his family. Likewise, every government official, because government is a God-ordained institution, will answer directly to God for the decisions they make and how they lead those that are under their care. So this is the sense in which God calls these kings and princes and priests in Israel gods. So Jesus is saying to these people trying to stone him, well, since religious leaders are recognized as having divine authority within their delegated realms, and since scripture cannot be broken, how dare you say the Son of God is a blasphemer, claiming authority from God? Because scripture itself testifies about Christ's authority as God the Son, God himself, when Jesus was baptized, declared, right, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. God said to the three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, right, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased, listen to him. God has declared Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Should he not have authority? Christ's authority is derived by his divine nature. Christ's authority is revealed by Scripture. And lastly, we learn again from verses 37 through 42 that Christ's authority is revealed by his works. So Jesus concludes this debate with the Jews by revealing that his works are consistent with both his testimony and the testimony of Scripture. So we talked a little about this consistency earlier. And this is an important lesson in this passage for you and I. We can claim Christianity until we are blue in the face. We can go to church, we can call God our Lord, we can tell others about Jesus, we are believers. But Jesus said, or will say when we get to chapter 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. Do we want the world to know we are a child of God? Then we must act like a child of God. Just as Jesus Christ showed the world that he was the Christ, the Son of God, we reveal to the world that we are Jesus' sheep. That's our role. We are a beloved child of God that listens to Jesus' voice. The conclusion of this passage ends, fortunately, on a very positive note. So starting from verse 39, it says, again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed. And many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. What happens when we repent of our political mind and acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, as God's Son, and listen to his voice? We become Jesus' voice to all those who are seeking a way out of the darkness of sin. May God bless us to confess in our heart that Jesus and the Father are one. And may God use our obedience, our confession to our shepherd's voice to lead many into Jesus' flock. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us of our stubborn pride and our own thinking. Help us to humble ourselves before the authority of Christ, God's one and only Son, so that we might hear and listen to your voice and believe. And when we doubt if we are truly God's sheep, help us to remember that it is not by what we do or don't do, but because of what Christ did, that no one, not even ourselves, our stupidity and sin, can remove us from the Father's hand. Lord, therefore, because of your love, all the more we give thanks to you, O Lord, and follow wherever you might lead, that others also might hear his voice and believe in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand.